Daniel chapter 6 in your Bibles. And I want to begin by talking about the fact that this is a historical account. This is not just a story in the Bible. This is an actual historical account. Daniel was a prophet of the Lord who was in exile when he was cast into the lion's den. Now, I want to give you some basic facts about lions. First of all, the lion possesses, as you well know, both beauty and strength, and has been called the king of the jungle. I remember when I was young, I don't know about you, most of us who are here have visited zoos. And when I would visit the zoo, when I was young, my dad used to take us to the Philadelphia Zoo. Some zoos are a little better than others, you know. And I would always say, Dad, you know, I like seeing these reptiles and all these things, but I want to see the lions. I still can remember that. Dad, I want to get over and see something. Right? You know, the lions. They're beautiful in my mind. They're called the king of the jungle. Lions feed on a wide variety of prey. They feed on impalas, not cars, zebras, giraffes, even hippos. Smaller animals like rabbits, birds, reptiles, and lions have been known to attack elephants when these other means of prey have been scarce. I understand that when a lion roars, and both male and female lions roar, okay, that their sound can be heard up to five miles away. Man. Historically, in addition to Africa, lions were found in Greece, throughout the Middle East, even in northern India. Lions used to live in most parts of Africa, but now they're only found in the South Sahara Desert and in parts of southern and eastern Africa. You've probably heard this too. The lion population in Africa has been reduced by half since the 1950s. Today, there are fewer than 21,000 lions in Africa. And that's why people got all upset when Cecil the lion was killed. Now, people got upset about that because that very week on national news, they covered that day after day after day rather than talking about the problem with Planned Parenthood and the killing of babies and the selling of parts. That's why that was such a week of contention here in our country. But people, you know, the lion, they're beautiful. I really love seeing them. And people are, you know, prone to get excited when they hear about the poaching that goes on with regards to the killing of lions. Daniel actually was place in the den of lions. Now, let's drop back in our thinking for a minute. When we who are here this morning, we're all trying to do our best to make, and this is a good way, I think, to say it, to make life work well. And when our lives are working well, it doesn't mean that everything is perfect in life for us. But it does mean that we have peace with God. And it means that we know that we're in the hands of the Lord. And we know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Many times I ask people the question, what's some of the promises in the Word of God? What's some of the big promises in the Word of God? And almost all the time, people put as number one where the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So wherever we go as believers, the Lord goes with us. We have confidence that things will, as believers, we have confidence that things will work out in our lives for the glory of God and ultimately for our good, even though we do not understand things that come into our lives. When we go through real trials, real struggles, things that perhaps we realize are struggles, but maybe even those around us don't really comprehend what we are going through, we remember verses like Psalm 50, verse 15, where the Lord says, call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. And probably all of us, if we would break into a testimony service this morning, we could testify to the fact that there were times in our lives and our experience where we were going through problems and we felt the pressure and the strain. And we remember the verse like Psalm 50, verse 15, where the Lord says, if you're in trouble, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. And the answers to prayer that we experience in our lives, they're not always the things that we would like to see the moment God begins the work. But God promises, because we're His children, that He will watch over us. He will meet our needs day by day. We have this great promise. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so if there are times when we feel, well, you know, God's answering their prayers and God's answering their prayers, but is He really answering my prayers? The answer is yes. The Lord says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And of course, as we look at all these promises in the Word of God with regards to prayer, we understand that God wants us to draw close to Him. And of course, prayer is the means by which we draw close to the Lord and we communicate with Him. And it's amazing how our time in prayer with the Lord, the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives, and He has the unique ability to give us peace of heart and peace of mind. All of us have been in situations where even from a phone call, we're saying, you know, how do I sort this out? Well, we go to the Lord. We say, Lord, help me to think through that which I am experiencing at this time. Through prayer, the point is, the Lord has a wonderful way of ministering to our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. And of course, when we pray and when we talk to the Lord, our relationship with the Lord grows stronger, much stronger than if we neglect times of prayer. So if you were to say this morning, you know, I don't know if I'm as close to the Lord as I really need to be. I don't know if I'm really as strong with the Lord as I need to be. You know, well, this afternoon, this evening, spend some time in fellowship with the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Tell Him the concerns of your heart. Take time and praise to Him. Praise and thanksgiving. It's awesome what the Lord does when we pray. Well, all that to begin to look at Daniel chapter 6, because here we have a prophet of the Lord who is actually away from his country, away from the land of Israel, in exile. And follow with me as I read verses 1 through 3. Some historic reference here. Daniel chapter 6. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom of the Medes. This is about 539 B.C., 120 satraps, or governmental leaders, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these there were three governors, of whom Daniel was one, and the satraps might give an account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole kingdom. This is beautiful concerning the prophet of the Lord, Daniel. Belshazzar was the leading king of Babylon. He died, and Darius of the Medo-Persian Empire takes over. Now, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar in Babylon, they were kings with great power and authority. But you have Darius coming into power, and he wants to, at this time, do more with regards to delegating responsibility. Now, he still has a lot of power, but he's delegating responsibility. And you will notice that it says in verse 3 that Daniel distinguished himself above the other governors because he had an excellent spirit. Now, I'm going to stop and let us look at this for just a minute. Here we have the prophet of the Lord. He's in a very difficult situation. He's away from his homeland. He's now under a new government of which he is asked to be a part. And the text of Scripture says he has an excellent spirit. And I look at that and I say, wow, this is beautiful. Here's one of the prophets of the Lord who is a man of integrity. And how do we describe that integrity that Daniel the prophet had? Well, he, again, he has gifts from God, which all of us do. All of us have different gifts from the Lord. Some of you are gifted in one area, some in other areas. And, of course, when we trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're given spiritual gifts, and that is the God-given ability to serve the Lord, so that all of us as believers, we can serve the Lord. You have gifts. You have more than one gift. Dr. Walvert at Dallas Seminary used to say, I think every Christian is given the gift of service. Okay, so we can all serve one another in some way, shape, or form. But some people have the gift of communication. They have other kinds of gifts, the gift of teaching, the gift of giving. There are all kinds of gifts that we have as Christians, as believers. But there are also gifts given to us by God, natural gifts, and Daniel had these as well. The text of Scripture said he had knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Now, some of you did well in literature in school, college, and some of you didn't do so well in those areas. Daniel did. He was knowledgeable and had intelligence, the text of Scripture says, in literature, in reading, and in wisdom. He was tactful and respectful with others. He had a reasonable approach to Scripture. But I see in verse 3, and I'm going to make this the first mark of integrity, he had an excellent spirit. Can I say it this way? He had a good attitude. And this is an area, I think, where we need to check ourselves from time to time. I believe Daniel had this good attitude because he knew that God was sovereign over everything. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, we're talking about the fact that God is ruler over all things, ultimately. And this is given in many places in Scripture. Daniel knew that God was sovereign over things which occurred in his life, like being lied about, being thrown into a den of lions. He knew the truth of Psalm 75:7, which says, God is the judge, and he puts down one, and he exalts another. Well, as you see in this account, Daniel gets in a very difficult predicament because he's going to continue to pray to his God, to the true and living God, and there are those going to make up something to make sure that he is stopped in his relationship with God. So we as believers, we have appointments and we have disappointments, and disappointments come along in our lives, but I like how this is worded out. Listen to this. Disappointment. His appointment. Now, I looked at this before and said, is God really watching over all of my life? We don't like disappointments. I don't, anyway. I'm sure you don't as well. Especially deep disappointments. But here's how it's worded out. Listen to this. Disappointment. His appointment. Change one letter and then I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. So I look at that and I say, now is that really true? When the Lord allows very difficult things to come into my life, is He still in sovereign control? And we do know the answers because we know our God. The answer is yes. The thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise. For the end from the beginning is open to His wisdom. There it lies. Disappointment. His appointment. Whose? The Lord who knows me best. He understands and knows me fully, who my faith and my love would test. For like a loving earthly parent, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts unquestioned all that from his wisdom flows. Disappointment, his appointment. Lord, I take it then as such, like clay in the hands of the potter, yielding wholly to thy touch. All my life's plan is your molding. Not one single choice ultimately is left from you and is mine. Let me answer unrepining, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Thine be done. Very interesting. And it's easy to read. It's real easy to read here on Sunday morning. But then when the struggles come into our lives, you know, on a Thursday or a Tuesday, and we have decisions to make that are not easy decisions. That's when we got to rely upon the fact that we know that our God is holy, just, true, and righteous. The other officials who worked with Daniel were jealous that this old exiled man from the land of Israel, that he would be given the position that he was given by King Darius. And so they conspired together to get rid of Daniel in verse 4. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. This is amazing. There wasn't any error or fault found in him. It's hard to say fault, isn't it? There wasn't any fault found in him. Okay? And so the second characteristic of integrity is this concerning Daniel. He was faithful in his work. He was faithful in his work. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, most men will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? I have talked to many, even in our church fellowship, and they say, well, you know, I work with individuals who they don't carry their load. Just this past week, someone in the fellowship said, I'm carrying the load of others who are not really doing their job as they should do their job. But how wonderful when God can look down at we who know Him and say, now there's a faithful man. There's a man who's faithful in his work. Okay? No negligence or corruption could be found in Daniel. And of course, the text of Scripture is very clear that Daniel was a faithful man not only in his job. And again, you please the Lord when you are for your employer. Someone your employer can count on. In fact, the Bible says, whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do all to the glory of God. This is wonderful. But Daniel was faithful, not only in his job and in his work, but in his personal life. And this is what the major thrust of Daniel chapter 6 is all about. His integrity in the area even of his personal life as well. And I believe he could be faithful to the Lord because he knew that ultimately he was accountable to God. He knew that God was watching over him. He knew he was accountable to God. And so you see again in verse 5 it says this. I'm going to read verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He was a faithful man. Now Daniel goes to the Lord in prayer, okay? He's going to God in prayer, and the text of Scripture says he faced Jerusalem. There's a reason he did that, by the way. There's a reason he turned and he faced Jerusalem when he prayed. Because Solomon, when he dedicated the temple to the Lord, in essence, this is a part of Solomon's prayer. Solomon said, Lord, and this is the place where you have come and you've shown your glory. But Lord, if we ever forsake you and we are scattered out into other nations around us, help us, Lord, to remember to pray to you looking back towards your temple. And that's why they prayed facing the temple. Because Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, he said, this is a place where God's going to be honored and God's going to be glorified. And when you pray, turn and face Jerusalem as you offer your prayers to the Father in heaven. Daniel knew that he was accountable to God. Quickly, his response is in verses 10 and 11, and these were read before, and we're going to read them again. I believe that verse 10 is one of the most beautiful verses in all of the Bible. And sometimes we look at the Bible and we say, well, this is just a, kind of like a historical reference. Yes, it is a historical reference. There really was a Daniel. Daniel really was thrown in the lion's den. But look at this man's character in 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that no one is to pray to any other god or any other person except to King Darius, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as his custom was since early days. He continued to do what he had faithfully done over the years in his relationship to God. He went and he knelt down and he prayed. Now, some people could say, well, you know, he could have closed the shutters or whatever there were in his house. I haven't seen it or any pictures of it. But he could have closed the shutters and prayed. No, Daniel's not going to do that. Remember, he's a man of integrity. He's a man who wants to please his God. And he's not going to change because of some law given by man to say, you can't pray to your God. Well, we're living in a day now where oftentimes our federal government is passing laws, and this is why Jake prayed the way he did this morning. It's passing laws when it's getting harder and harder for believers to practice their faith. Now, I didn't say we couldn't, but I'm saying even out in the public square, it's getting harder and harder to keep our faith and our responsibility clearly to the Lord. Very interesting. So Daniel's response again says that he immediately upon hearing this decree that no one can pray to any other god except to King Darius. And kings back in that days, in those days rather, considered themselves to be gods, many of them. But Daniel goes home, he goes to his room, his windows are open facing Jerusalem, and he prays to the Lord for the deliverance of his people. Lord, we need you now in our lives. And I guess this is one of the chapters in the Bible that encourages us as believers to make sure. In fact, we're going to leave from here this worship time this morning, and this would be a good chapter reminder for us as believers to make sure that we're not cutting short our quiet time with God, that we're continuing to develop it, that when we pray, we have our Bible open sometimes, and we bring our requests specifically to the Lord. I think one of the easiest things for us to do, and I'm guilty of this just as you are, pray in the same way all the time, rather than thinking, you know, what are the needs of my children? Maybe I ought to get more specific about praying for my children. Maybe I ought to get more specific about praying for my grandchildren. Maybe I ought to get a little bit more specific about praying for those I work with. Our prayer life is vitally important, as we see from this. Daniel was faithful to the Lord in prayer. He realized that the pressure was on for him to not pray as he had done. And it can well be said, the most important part of your life as a believer and my life as a believer is our quiet time with God. What we do in our quiet time at home with the Lord actually allows for God to work things out in our lives and experience, and sometimes in ways we would never anticipate. It is amazing what the Lord does for us in answer to prayer. We could have a testimony time right now, and some of you could say, well, you know, this happened in my life, we prayed about it, and God did it. This happened in my life, we prayed about it, God did it. And all kinds of things can happen and occur in our lives when we truly seek the Lord. An old English scholar said it this way. It's a little different, but he said it this way. I thought it was neat. He said, you pray as your face is set, and it's set either towards Jerusalem or toward Babylon. And of course, when he said Babylon, he meant the world. And of course, many people wake up in the morning with the idea, you know, what's the world going to do for me today? I'll tell you what, believers, the world's not going to do anything for us. Ultimately, God's in control. And we go to the Lord in prayer in the morning. We say, Lord, bless my wife, my family, my children, my grandchildren. Lord, guide me through the day. And see, that's what's going to guide. That's what's going to allow the Lord to work out His will in our lives. But if I wake up in the morning, don't think about talking to the Lord at all. Don't commit things to Him. Don't commit relationships to Him. Don't commit work to Him. Well, some pretty difficult things can come along in our lives and experiences. The Lord wants to continue to bless us as His people, and you know as well as I do, Lamentations 3:23-24 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Wow. already today. We've been wonderfully blessed, haven't we? It's a joy for me to be with you this morning. I mean, this is awesome. I wouldn't want to be home sitting watching TV. I wouldn't want, even this morning, want to be downtown passing out tracts. I want to be here worshiping with you this morning. This is a tremendous joy and a tremendous blessing. Someone said it this way: a believer who knows how to kneel in prayer has no problem standing in the strength of the Lord. Repeat. A believer who knows how to kneel in prayer has no problem standing in the strength of the Lord. That's where you get your strength from. You go to God and say, Lord, I really need you. There's things I'm facing. I didn't know that these things were going to come up today. And so I go to the Lord in prayer, and it is amazing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is exactly what happened in Daniel's experience. Well, summarizing the awesome truths of Daniel, the first thing we see as we look at this text, you see that this historical reference, obviously the Lord sent his angels, Daniel was put down in the lion's den, God sent his angels and stopped the mouths of the lion. I don't know how he did that, by the way. All I know is what the text of Scripture says. Daniel didn't even have a scratch on him. And I've heard of people who have been at least killed by lions. What do you call these guys in the circus who have the whips and they... What are they? Lion tamers. Yeah, lion tamers. And some of these down through the years have been killed. Daniel didn't even have a scratch on him. The text of Scripture says this. And the Lord sent his angel and stopped the mouths of the lions. And those very lions, by the way, after Daniel was removed from them, they were getting really hungry. So when the king threw the conspirators down in there, they were killed. Instantly, they were killed. What do we learn from this? Well, Daniel chapter 6 is a foreshadow of the fact that God will deliver his people Israel. And this is part of the canon of Scripture to encourage Jewish people. And look how Israel is today. Israel is a tiny nation surrounded by many enemy nations. And will Israel be wiped off the map? Absolutely not. It's clear in the text of Scripture. The book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, book of Romans, all talk about the fact that there's a future for the nation of Israel. So this account is an encouragement for Jewish people, specifically Messianic Jews, those who know the Lord, that God will in the future destroy the enemies of Israel and he will protect his people, those who turn to him. Secondly, we see the character of Daniel. He is a beautiful example of a man who, and I like to say it this way, he maintained a strong devotional life with the Lord. He prayed and gave thanks to the Lord as his custom was, even though he heard this decree from the king that you cannot be asking anybody any requests for the whole month until the month is over. You can only ask the king for a request. Somebody said this. I got to read this. Somebody, this is beautiful. He's a Christian writer. His name's Leon Wood. He said this: to have maintained such a demanding prayer schedule and continuing it in the face of penalty, like being thrown in the lion's den, required great discipline of life for the prophet. In his position as a leader in government, Daniel carried heavy responsibility with much work to do. And under such circumstances, the temptation to neglect his prayer time was no doubt very strong, especially since he had to return home at noon for prayer. Now, it doesn't mean that every believer has to pray necessarily in the morning and at noon and the evening. But many of God's people in the Old Testament economy did this. And it's given in the book of Psalms, where the psalmist said, morning, noon, and night, I will cry unto you. I will bring my requests to you. Now, under such demands that Daniel the prophet had in government, in his work, to neglect his prayer time was no doubt strong, especially since he had to return home each noon for that purpose, while keeping also morning and evening times open for prayer. Daniel maintained this prayer schedule, recognizing the priority of these times of faithful contact with God. He continued in the same face of unfair decree of the king. And so what's the point? The point is Daniel the prophet had a strong relationship with God. He still fulfilled his earthly responsibility. He was a good employee. He did a good job. The king recognized this and thought he would make him the ruler over the whole kingdom and let the king relax. But Daniel did not neglect his prayer time. So it reminds me, we need to be real careful and say, well, you know, I got busy today and I didn't really take time to pray. We need to strengthen our quiet time with God. Don't neglect it. Maybe you're saying this morning, wow, boy, he's hitting this subject this morning pretty hard from Daniel chapter 6. He's hitting it hard. Yes, I'm hitting it hard for me too. Because we can all get so busy that we neglect times of prayer and seeking our Lord. Daniel is a beautiful example of a man who was faithful to God. And of course, God delivered him. That's the key verb here. Now, here's the point. I want to just bring this out and we'll close in prayer. Daniel was delivered from the lions, but not all of God's people are delivered in times of persecution. You can go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, which is the hall of fame of those who are faithful to God. And in the first section of Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about people who experienced great deliverance. But then you come down to the middle of the chapter and it says, but there were others who died for their faith. And there will continue to be those who will die for their faith down through the years until Jesus Christ comes back again. But we need to remember when we think of Daniel in the lion's den, God delivered him. And in fact, one of the characteristics of God, if I were running through the alphabet A, B, C, D, and wanted to think of one of the characteristics of God, I would use the verb, he's a deliverer. And he's delivered me from all kinds of needs and problems and sin over the years. And I agree with that hymn writer who said, 'tis the grandest theme through the ages sung. 'Tis the grandest thing for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world has ever sung. Our God is able to deliver us. Let's pray together.